Animals can communicate quite well, and they do. And generally speaking, they are ignored. Alice Walker. The Emotion Code, Chapter 9. The Emotion Code in Animals. As any animal lover will tell you, animals have feelings too. They may not be able to talk about them, but if you watch their behavior and get to know them, you will soon be able to recognize their subtle changes of emotion. Even without words, animals express their emotions clearly. When emotionally upsetting events occur, animals can suffer from trapped emotions, just as people can. A horse is a horse, of course. My first experience treating trapped emotions in animals occurred somewhat by accident. One day I received a telephone call from a patient named Linda, a trainer from San Juan Capistrano. She had come to me a year before with a rather severe case of asthma that I'd helped her with, but this call was about something else entirely. "I have kind of a strange request, and I'm wondering if you can help me," she said. "One of my horses, Ranger, is having a problem with frequent urination. I've had 3 veterinarians examine him, but none of them can find out what's wrong. As far as they can tell, he's perfectly healthy. But he's causing a terrible problem, not just for me, but for the adjacent stall owners and horses as well. I know that you occasionally work on animals, and I'd really appreciate it if you could come to the stables and see what you can do." When Linda had come to my office for her own treatments, we talked about our shared love of horses. I'd grown up around horses in Montana and never missed an opportunity to ride. Linda had shown me photos of 4 or 5 beautiful horses she kept in her stables, but I'd never been to the stables to see them. The next day, Jean and I made the trip down to Linda's stables. We walked into a large rectangular building with a peaked roof that covered about 40 horses' stalls in 2 rows. As we arrived at Ranger's stall, we could see immediately why Linda was so concerned about him. Unlike all the other neat, clean stalls we had seen in the building, this horse's stall was a soggy mess, as he was having a urination problem. Linda brought Ranger outside so we could work on him on dry ground. Jean volunteered to act as surrogate and put one hand on the horse, holding her other arm out for me to muscle test. We determined that there was something causing an imbalance in Ranger's kidneys, but after testing him for a few minutes, I was at a loss as to what the source of the imbalance might be. "Why don't you test to see if there's a trapped emotion?" Jean said. I laughed out loud. "Test a horse for trapped emotions? That's really funny. I was born and raised in Montana and had 2 different horses of my own while I was growing up. While I loved my horses and took good care of them, like most people, I never imagined that they might suffer from trapped emotions." Jean looked at me calmly and repeated, "Just test and see." Jean is very intuitive, and she was probably sensing the truth about what was going on with Ranger. So I asked out loud, "Is this imbalance due to a trapped emotion?" and pressed down on Jean's arm. The answer was yes. As I went through the chart of emotions, we were surprised to find that the trapped emotion was conflict. By a process of elimination, we determined that Ranger felt conflicted in his relationship with another horse. Linda was able to confirm that a new horse had been brought into the stables in the past few months. Ranger and this new horse were at odds from the first day they met and occasionally had to be separated to prevent them from injuring one another. They had moved the new horse further away from Ranger's stall, but the two horses still came into contact with each other almost daily, if only in passing. Further testing showed that this trapped emotion had become lodged in the right kidney and was indeed the underlying cause of Ranger's kidney imbalance. Once we had verified the trapped emotion, I released it by rolling a magnet down Ranger's back. When I retested Ranger through Jean, it was apparent that the trapped emotion had been released. From that moment on, Ranger began to recover. When I talked to Linda on the phone a few days later, she told me that his stall was dry for the first time in months. The problem never recurred. Although I rarely worked on animals, as my practice consisted almost entirely of people, this experience opened a whole new dimension for me, and it can for you too. Working on animals. Releasing trapped emotions from an animal is essentially no different than releasing trapped emotions from a human being. You will use the same chart of emotions that you are already familiar with. The only psychological hurdle you might have to overcome is that you will be speaking directly to the animal, or rather to the subconscious mind of the animal, instead of the subconscious mind of a person. Everything else is pretty much the same. Since you will be using a surrogate to test the animal, perform a baseline test on the surrogate to make sure they are testable. The surrogate will place one hand on the animal and hold their other arm outstretched to be used for muscle testing. The tester will then make sure the animal and the surrogate are connected by asking the animal a simple question. For example, if you're working on a horse and the horse's name is Buck, you might ask the animal, "Is your name Buck?" muscle test the surrogate. And when the surrogate tests strong when congruent questions are directed to the animal and weak when incongruent questions are directed to the animal, the connection is made. Once the energetic connection is established, you can test the surrogate for answers as if you were testing a human being. For all practical purposes, there is no difference. Your first experience testing an animal may really surprise you. To suddenly open a line of communication with an animal is a fascinating experience that is oftentimes quite moving. Twigs gets dognapped. A little Lhasa Apso named Twigs is a perfect example. His owners, Brett and Kathy, told me his story when they brought him in. A few months before, they had all been taking a walk together in the foothills near San Juan Capistrano. Twigs, who was very inquisitive and loved to go exploring, had trotted off down the trail about 50 or 60 feet in front of them. Suddenly there was a rustling of leaves and a coyote emerged from the brush along the trail. A heartbeat later, the coyote was running away with Twigs in its jaws. Brett and Kathy barely had time to move before he was gone. They chased the coyote into the trees, but there was nothing they could do. Going back home, brokenhearted, they resigned themselves to the loss of their dog. They were still grieving 4 days later when Twigs showed up on their doorstep. He stood there quivering, his hair all matted and bloody, glad to be home. They rushed him to the animal hospital, where the vet stitched up his wounds, gave him antibiotics, and saved his life. "It was like a miracle," Kathy said, stroking Twigs as she held him snugly in her arms. "We were so relieved." "So what seems to be the problem?" I asked. "He's just not the same dog anymore," Brett explained. "He never barks or chases anything. He seems to have lost his interest in life." "And he shakes all the time," Kathy said, holding Twigs up so I could see how much he was trembling. "The vet says it might be neurological damage," Brett added. "He said there's nothing he can do. It's probably permanent." Kathy set Twigs down on the table so I could examine him. I checked for misalignments in the spine. I found a few as I had expected and adjusted them. "The thing is," Kathy said, "we're wondering if we should put him down." "His quality of life just isn't very good anymore," Brett said. "He never barks or runs around like he used to. We have to carry him everywhere. His curiosity is gone. He just seems like he's suffering all the time." We all looked at Twigs, sitting on the adjusting table, shivering with a miserable, frightened look in his eyes. I could only imagine the terror he must have experienced when he was attacked and carried off, and decided it was likely he was suffering from a trapped emotion. After getting permission from Brett and Kathy, I explained surrogate testing and asked one of them to act as surrogate for Twigs. When I asked if he had a trapped emotion, the answer was yes. I assumed that the emotion would be fear or terror. As I narrowed the list of emotions, what turned up was surprising. The emotion that filled this little dog's heart and soul the time it was being carried off by the coyote wasn't terror or anything like that. It was sadness. As he was being carried off in the jaws of the coyote, all Twigs could think about was that he was never going to see Brett and Kathy again. And the thought overwhelmed him with sadness. Once we identified the trapped emotion, I quickly released it with a magnet and the treatment was over. When I set Twigs down on the floor, he took off like a speeding bullet. He ran down the hall and into the waiting room. When he had first come into that waiting room in Kathy's arms, he'd been shivering so hard he hadn't seemed to notice any of the people there. Now he greeted each patient with several nice, healthy barks. Then he rushed down the hall and stuck his head into every room, barking at least once before he finally ended up in front of us, happily wagging his tail. It was an amazing, instantaneous transformation. We were all astonished and touched by this miraculous healing. According to his owners, Twigs stopped shaking from that moment, and his charming, inquisitive personality returned. The great thing about testing animals for trapped emotions is that what you see is what you get. Animals don't pretend they're feeling better just to make you happy. Often the effect is immediate and quite profound. Twigs seemed to know that we were trying to help him, and when he suddenly felt better, the change was obvious to everyone. Brandy's naughty behavior. We dropped in to visit with some friends at their home one evening when I was greeted by their dog Brandy in a very enthusiastic but rather obscene way. "I'm so sorry," Skip said. "Every time we have guests over, he rushes up and starts humping their leg. It's really embarrassing, and there's nothing we can do to get him to stop, so we finally have resorted to locking him outside when we have company. We didn't realize you were going to stop by, otherwise he would have been locked out in the backyard." As we sat with them, our conversation quickly turned to other topics. But from where I was sitting, I could see poor Brandy on the other side of the sliding glass door, looking forlorn. Changing the subject of our conversation back to Brandy, I told them that a trapped emotion could be the cause of his odd behavior. They hadn't heard of anything like this before, but they trusted me and were willing to let me check Brandy. It didn't take long to determine that my hunch was right. Brandy's trapped emotion was grief, and here is how it happened. The family had recently purchased a cabin in the mountains. At first, they'd taken Brandy with them in the back seat, but he couldn't endure the long drive. He kept getting carsick and throwing up in the car. Soon, they started leaving him behind. Brandy would get all excited watching them pack up their gear, and then they'd drive away without him. Brandy was distraught and didn't understand why he was left behind when he was so excited to go and be with them. That's when the trouble started. They had never had any trouble with Brandy before, but suddenly, Brandy was different, and when a visitor would come to the house, Brandy would rush them and hump their leg to everyone's disgust. Apparently, he couldn't express his grief any other way. Once we cleared the trapped emotion, that behavior totally stopped. The family still didn't take Brandy to the cabin, but at least he got to be in the house full time again. Boofy the Paranoid Cat. The unique thing about this story is not so much what happened to her cat, but how a young woman discovered her own gift and found a new direction in her life. After my friend Serena and I finished Dr. Nelson's 2-day seminar on trapped emotions, we were eager to try out our new knowledge. When we got back to my house, we both spotted my cat asleep on the couch and thought, aha, our first victim. Boofy was a stray cat that adopted our family when he was about 1 year old. We had cared for him well and had even given him a collar with a bell so he wouldn't get lost again. We tried for a month to find his owners, but when we couldn't, we decided to keep him because he was so well behaved. Although he was always friendly with us, Boofy had a terrible fear of strangers. Instead of rubbing up against their legs looking for attention like most cats do, Boofy seemed to see all strangers as a threat. If someone Boofy didn't know came into the room, he would bolt and run. Using myself as a surrogate, I tested Boofy for trapped emotions. As we suspected, the trapped emotion was fear. Once we cleared the trapped emotion by running the Magboy down his back, Boofy rolled over to have us scratch his stomach, but nothing else particularly happened. But a few days later, when a visitor came over, we noticed that he didn't run. In fact, when any new person came into the room, Boofy now acted like any other cat, sometimes going up to them for petting and attention. Thanks to Dr. Nelson's training, I found that I enjoy working with animals. I've even discovered that I have a special ability for working with them. Using self-testing, I can identify trapped emotions quickly and clear them. I have my own pet therapy business now, and have seen for myself the remarkable changes that come to animals using the emotion code. Katrina B., Washington. Abandoned Puppies. I received another touching letter from Katrina, who has become very proficient at using the emotion code with animals. Last year, I received a phone call from one of my friends asking if they could borrow our boat. They had been at a private park by the Stillaguamish River when they thought they heard whimpering puppies. After looking around, they saw the puppies by the cliff across the river, stranded on a small sandbar. My friend was afraid that the next rainstorm would raise the river and drown the puppies, so she needed my boat to rescue them. My brother Ben and I took our canoe to the park and rescued the puppies. One was already dead, but we took the other four home with us. They were beautiful black puppies with white markings, a mixed breed of pit bull and German shepherd. One of them would not stop shivering even when I wrapped it up in a blanket and held it next to me. I knew it wasn't cold, it was in shock. But I got out my emotion chart and started testing for trapped emotions, using myself as the surrogate. The puppy's primary trapped emotions were terror, shock, fear, betrayal, and abandonment. As I worked with the puppy, asking questions about what had happened and testing myself for the answers, I learned that the puppies had been deliberately abandoned and left there to drown. It's easy to understand how upsetting that would be. I carefully cleared all of the trapped emotions from the puppy and confirmed that they were gone. After less than a half hour of work, the puppy had stopped shivering and calmed down. Even though I was happy to keep holding him snugly in the blanket, he wanted to get up and play. Knowing the trauma these puppies had been through, I cleared the trapped emotions from the other puppies, too. I wanted to be sure to give them a better start with the families that would adopt them when we took them to the animal shelter. The pound had no problem finding them good homes. Katrina B. A Horse's Sorrow. After I'd worked on Ranger, word started getting around about my unusual approach to treating animals. An owner asked if I would come to look at her horse, Valiant, who was having difficulty with his gait or the specific pattern of his leg movements. Valiant was an elegant horse used in dressage, a particular kind of horse training in which the horse learns to follow very specific movements by the rider. With an abnormal gait, it's impossible for a horse to work, so Valiant's training had ground to a halt. A veterinarian had seen the horse but could find nothing physically wrong, so Carla, the horse's owner, turned to me for help. My arrival at the stables caused a bit of a stir. The owners, horse trainers, and stable hands were curious to see this new technique that purportedly freed horses of their emotional baggage. A small crowd gathered around the stall as I worked. I asked for a volunteer to act as a surrogate, and a rider named Melissa volunteered. As I tested Valiant through Melissa, I soon found the reason for his gait problem. There was a trapped emotion that was imbalancing his hind quarters. Further testing revealed that the trapped emotion was sorrow. "Is it sorrow about another horse?" I asked. Melissa's arm went weak, which meant no. "Is it sorrow about a human being?" Her arm went weak again. No. "Is it sorrow about a dog?" No. "About a cat?" No. Knowing it would help to know the nature of the sorrow, but running out of possibilities, I kept at it. Seeing a squirrel nearby, I asked, "Is it sorrow about a squirrel?" No. "Is it sorrow about a bird?" At this point, Melissa's arm tested strong, indicating a yes. A horse feeling sorrow about a bird? This somehow struck me as being quite funny, and I started to laugh, along with everyone else. This was really unexpected. Suddenly, Carla, the horse's owner, spoke up. "Wait a minute. I think I know what this is about." I could see from the look on her face that she was serious. "Last week," she said, "a baby bird fell out of its nest onto the road, right in front of Valiant's stall. The baby bird struggled for its life for a time, but it ended up dying." "Is this sorrow about the baby bird that died?" I asked Valiant through Melissa. The answer was yes. Valiant must have seen the whole thing. As this baby bird struggled helplessly for its life and eventually died, Valiant was overwhelmed with sorrow and a trapped emotion was formed, which was imbalancing his hindquarters and affecting his gait. Running a magnet down his back, I released the trapped emotion. Carla led him out of the stables and walked him. Lo and behold, Valiant's gait problem was suddenly gone, along with his trapped emotion of sorrow about a little baby bird. Amazing horse stories. Our children were taking riding lessons at a local equestrian park, and we ended up treating the owner's horses for trapped emotions. The owner tells the story here. "I have been involved with horse training and riding since I was 14 years old. I now own and operate an equestrian facility. I regularly compete in national reining horse association events around the country with my horses. I met Dr. Nelson and his wife Jean a year or so ago and have been privileged to have the two of them work on some of my horses with amazing results, and I would like to share with you what I have seen. All my horses are quarter horses and are considered working cattle horses. One of my favorite horses is Newt. He is now 14 years old and has been retired for 5 years, which is very unusual for a horse, but Newt has some problems. About 10 years ago, Newt slept on an anthill and was bitten repeatedly by ants in a large area of skin over his left hind quarter. Within a few days, all the hair fell out of that area, and he never really recovered from it. Although the hair grew back, I quit showing him about 6 or 7 years ago, as he just couldn't perform anymore, and it was obvious to me that he was in pain. His energy level was very low, and it seemed that he was suddenly old before his time. Over the last 5 years, he's been totally retired. But I have been taking him out about twice a year to work him just a bit, just to give him something to do. Over the years, I have had vets look at him, chiropractors, and even tried shock therapy, but nothing worked at all. Newt is a very valuable horse. Both of his grandparents were from Doc Barr, twice from both mother and father. Doc Barr is a very famous quarter horse. His mother's lineage is in the top 5 reining and cow horses in the country. As Dr. Nelson and Jean worked on Newt, they told me that he was suffering from trapped emotions. Specifically, he had lack of control and nervousness from around age 2. This dated back to before I had him, when he had been worked too hard and too aggressively by his former owner-trainer. They said he had some sort of disconnection going on in the left hindquarter, dating back to the ant bites as well. Since Dr. Nelson and his wife worked on him, he had a total of 1 treatment that lasted about 30 minutes. Newt is like a new horse. In fact, it's like he has suddenly gone back to where he was when he was a 4-year-old. I can now use him to rope cattle, which puts a lot of strain on the horse's back, with no problem. I can rein him and put him through all his paces, and he performs at the top of his game. It's amazing to me how he acts now. He is full of energy and wants to play all the time. After being retired and unable to do much of anything at all for many years, Newt is brand new. Another horse of mine I call Buck. He is probably the best horse I have, and is a beautiful little buckskin quarter horse. I got him 3 months ago. From the very beginning, he was suffering from a severe lack of energy and trust and had no desire to do anything. He didn't want to work. I happened to know how he was trained, and it was way too aggressive, to put it kindly. My observation is that you can get a horse to perform with that kind of harsh training for about a year, and then you are all done because the horse finally says, "You can hurt me all you want, and I just don't care anymore. I'm done." Well, Buck had reached that point, and he was done. He hated his life, hated his job, and hated people because they had mistreated him so much. Dr. Nelson and his wife checked him out and found trapped emotions of hatred at age 3. He felt that the trainer hated him. Depression at age 3, and other emotions of overwhelmed, panic, and feeling taken for granted. Since then, Buck has changed in a big way. His cadence has changed. He is much smoother to ride and feels much more relaxed, which is how he should feel to me when I ride him. In addition, he is no longer afraid of people and much less guarded. He is now a normal horse in all those aspects. He loves to work now and is full of energy. It's really amazing. He is like a new horse. Last month, I took Buck to the NHRA show where he took 3rd out of 30 head in the stallion class event and 3rd in the trainer horse event. I'm happy to say that he beat his old trainer's best by 5 points at this show. Training by instilling fear might work for a while, but trust lasts forever. I'm not sure how Dr. Nelson's method works, but I am absolutely convinced that trapped emotions are real. It is truly amazing to see this process done and to see the results that are obtained. Without Dr. Nelson knowing anything about a horse's history, the emotions and things that come up are exactly right on. I have seen this method work, and I can see and feel the results in my horses. When I try to describe it to people, they say it sounds like voodoo. All I know is it works, and that's all I care about. Boyd Roundy, Utah. More amazing horse stories. My name is Debbie Spitzenfeil. I am an FEI-level dressage trainer and clinician, and I have trained in Germany with Olympic trainers. After having a training barn in San Juan Capistrano, California for 17 years with 23 horses from training level to intermediary 2, I am now semi-retired in Oregon with my Holsteiner stallion, Revelation. I teach dressage clinics in Oregon, Colorado, and California, as well as judging shows in those states. I attended the first seminar on magnetic healing that Dr. Nelson held in San Diego, California in July of 1998. I have used his methods of clearing trapped emotions and have found them to be invaluable in working with horses, as well as people, and I have many amazing stories that I could share, but here are a couple of great ones. One horse that was in training with me for several years would go lame several times a year. We had 3 different vets look at him, x-rays, chiropractic, and acupuncture done, but nothing seemed to work during these times. It was very frustrating since we were competing with him and never knew just when this mysterious lameness would occur. When I learned the emotion code through being a patient of Dr. Nelson's for 10 years, as well as going to his seminars, I began to use energetic balancing on the horses I had in training with me. Highlander would go lame in his right hock area. I began to clear his emotional baggage. He had a heart wall that was 29 stalls thick. I was able to eliminate all of the heart walls through clearing. He had abandonment issues, anger and resentment at his owner, and major grief. I was able to trace this back to when he was 5 years old and was being trailered. He had fallen down in the trailer. The owner never stopped to help him, and he had to lie that way the entire trip. I asked the owner if this had indeed happened, and she ashamedly admitted that it had. She simply did not know what to do, so drove with him in the trailer until she got to the showgrounds. Highlander knew that she knew, and he resented her for it. He also felt abandoned by her. After I was able to clear everything, he went from being totally lame in the hock to being completely sound within 10 minutes. He remained sound for the next 3 years while I had him in training. Only 2 times did I have to clear him again, and that was when he saw horses that didn't want to load into a trailer, and I think he recalled his grief. But still, he stayed sound and went on to win several championships. Another horse I was training in a clinic came in lame. I had never taught him before. I asked his owner if I could muscle test him to see if this was a physical lameness or an emotional one. It was an emotional lameness. I was able to clear his grief issues over the loss of another horse that had to be put down in his barn. He was mourning the horse and short-circuited in many organs as well as his heart. It took me about 10 minutes to clear him, after which he immediately trotted off sound. He continued to be sound for many more clinics until he was sold to another home. I have used the emotion code on horses I plan to purchase to see if they have emotional short circuits and if they are indeed trainable. It has helped me enormously in choosing good horses. I am always muscle testing my horses to do checkups on their health status. I think they are physically healthier and happier because of Dr. Nelson's methods. Debbie Spitzenfile, Oregon. Conclusion. We populate this earth along with the animals, and many times we end up in the position of being their caretakers in a very personal way. They are our companions and our friends. We sometimes come to love them as if they were another member of our family, and this is as it should be. Like our family, it falls to us to make sure the animals in our care are fed and sheltered, and to do our best to keep them safe and healthy. Keep an eye on the animals in your care. If something unsettling happens, like the baby bird dying right in front of Valiant, think about how your animal might feel. When an animal develops symptoms of any kind, whether they are physical or behavioral, they may reflect a trapped emotion. You now have the tools to help them on your own. Don't be afraid to try. Just let your heart be full of love for the animal. Have a prayer in your heart. Have a clear intention to help them. Believe that you can do it, and you will be successful.